Somebody said, what's a better thing to do? Well, it's not just me and it's not just you. This is all around the world. Over the mountain, down in the valley, lives the former talk show.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this New Year's Eve. How are you all doing? It's nice to think that this is the end of the year, and then you realize tomorrow we have a new one to live through. But still, let's be happy about this. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. An absolute delight to have you all with us. And let me introduce everybody. I think we're having some issues with some of our panelists. I think Linda, are you there? All right, Linda's not there, and I don't think Malcolm is there yet. But we're working on that right now.
I heard Rosemary.
So, yes, we heard Rosemary.
Yes, Rosemary is here.
Excellent. And Linda's there. Excellent. All right. And I just got a note from Malcolm that he is he's having trouble connecting, so he'll be with us in a second. So
I can tell you that the number that I was sent, it was incorrect. The 328, it should have been 348, and I spent a lot of time dialing a site that before it would connect me to the person I wanted, wished to ask me a few questions because there was an extraordinary offer from me personally today.
At least well, it wasn't porno.
Well, we don't know, actually, do we? Yeah. We don't know what the extraordinary offer was.
I'd like to know what the offer is.
Yeah, I don't.
Joe, yeah. I need to be introduced because I have something I have to do.
Okay, so let me introduce everybody. So let me introduce you, Alan. Now that I think we have everybody on the phone, WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
The reason I am so pushy is that I want to be the first, being a twin where life is a competition. I want to be the first to congratulate you, Joe, on a wonderful birthday and a happy birthday. And I know
thank you very much.
We are all incredibly appreciative of what you do for us and bringing us this program. So thank you, Joe.
Well, thank you very much. 53 years old.
Congratulations.
Or young.
I don't know. Yeah,
baby.
I don't know.
Young.
Yeah, I know. I'm a baby. Yeah, the baby of the family. Forever the baby. It's...
I'm going to be 53 again.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Those were the days. And yet, weirdly, I feel like it's just, you know, the end is starting. I don't know. But you're all wonderful to look at and say, oh, well, see, this is what I have to look forward to. This is fantastic. Investigative reporter and UAlbany adjunct professor Rosemary Armeo.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm still laughing at that last line. I have nothing more to say.
Good morning, Rosemary. How are you?
Oh, good. How are your knees? You had a terrible fall.
Yeah,
and
you know,
and you recovered remarkably. How are you?
I'm great.
Talk about it.
No, I'm great. I'm feeling great. I finished therapy in the spring during COVID, and I was signed off by my doctor. And the only thing that I have difficulty doing is kneeling in church. And since all the churches are closed, I don't have that problem either. So there you go. It's not a big
glad
issue.
To hear that.
Yeah.
See, when you're that age, you heal easily.
That's right. Lynn Dellerby is with us.
It's not the kneeling, it's the getting back up.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. That's absolutely true. Lynn Dellerby is a Peabody and Emmy Award-winning journalist, and I don't know. I'll tell you a little story here. Linda called me a couple weeks ago and said, you know, can I say where you go? Is that all right?
Yes, I could.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Linda goes to Mexico during the winter, and she said, you know, I'm still planning on doing that. I don't know, you know, exactly when, but I'm planning on doing that, and I just think I want to step back a little from the show. Now, she's still going to be a part of the show and still going to be with us, just not on a regular Thursday slot. And so then she said to me, hey, by the way, my dream panel for my last regular shot would be Alan, Rosemary, and Malcolm Nance. And I said... done. So I wrote to all of them,
so
and they
here
said
we are.
We're there. Now I don't know if we found Malcolm yet, but other than that, Malcolm,
I hope he's
are you
not taking advantage of the special offer?
Okay, we're
Maybe
still waiting for
the
Malcolm.
Wrong number two.
Yeah, now aquí hablamos español. See?
I don't. Okay.
In other words, we're no slouches. If Linda calls up and wants to talk to us in Spanish, we'll do it. Badly.
Oh, that's true.
Linda's Spanish is pretty funny. I mean, one of the things that is part of why I go there, the main thing is simply I am from the Gulf Coast. I am old. I have heart problems, and I hate the cold now. I've spent many, many years living up here, and I love it. I dearly love it. But I like getting away during the winter, and I like where I am because it is very easy for me to go out and walk 5 miles every morning without getting to a trail or anything. I just walk out the door, and I'm walking along the ocean for 5 miles. So that helps me, and there's many hills in town. All of that helps me physically. Mentally, I'm trying to stay young by becoming fluent at a second language. So I like it. I don't know when I'm going down this year. I'm not in control of anything. If any of you all noticed, you're having this problem as well. I'm not in control of anything, apparently.
Well, none of us feel, and we've lost all control of everything. That's the brakes are off.
Yes.
So, Linda, you walk by the ocean every day, the warm breezes.
At dawn. The beautiful thing. I hate even saying this because I know how fortunate I am.
This sounds like
the most privileged thing in the world, and it probably is. But on my right are green mountains, the Sierra Madres, frankly, going straight up. On my left is the Pacific Ocean. The sun is coming over the mountaintops, hitting the water at dawn through the palm trees. And I am walking along with Luna along the ocean there and stepping along. Alan, it is a good deal more comfortable than your 2 a.m. walk here in Great Barrington.
Let me just say,
Linda, I just want to say that I hate you.
I was going to say that. You stole my line.
I was supposed to say this. It is a renewal every morning. My spirit is, I love, the dawn is my favorite time of day anyway. All my life I have been a morning person, and every dawn renews me.
Bless you that you've worked your whole life. You've worked so hard. You get to do that. You get to go out and enjoy these beautiful things that the world offers. So good for you. That's perfect.
Well,
and
thank you. I haven't worked my whole life. I did not work until I was 19. Unless you count being a candy striper at the hospital.
I do count that. I absolutely count that. Malcolm, are you with us? All right, we're still waiting for Malcolm. All right, I'm gonna get started, and then we'll find out whether I just heard from him. I just texted him. He's trying to get in on the connection, so we'll see. He has a different number, Linda. So God only knows what he's getting roped into.
I think he might be taking him up on the offer. The special offer.
I think he has a timeshare that he's working on. All right. So good morning, everyone. Welcome. A reminder that you can join us, panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org. Very nice that when you join us, that makes the show even more fun. So let's go on with what is happening. Yesterday, we talked a lot about Mitch McConnell and what he would do when it comes to the stimulus checks. I think we probably had a pretty good idea of what he was going to do. But McConnell says the push by Democrats and Trump for the $2,000 stimulus checks, and this is one of my favorite lines, has no realistic path to quickly pass the Senate.
That's right.
And that's because Mitch McConnell doesn't want it to. So
exactly.
That's why it's not realistic, because he said no. So he appeared to deliver a political death blow to a last-minute push to authorize the $2,000 stimulus checks for most Americans, arguing that he would not be bullied into action despite pressure from President Trump, congressional Democrats, and even some Republicans for the more generous payments. Was I the only person who thought, oh, you're going to stop being bullied by the president now?
Yeah.
Alan, what do you think?
Well, I agree with you. It's all nonsense. Look, the guy is a prisoner of his own dictum, which is that you do not ask the Republicans to do everything unless you can get an affirmative vote. And clearly he couldn't, because there are many of these guys who just won't do it. I don't think Mitch McConnell has a scintilla of, worry about right or wrong. I think it's all about politics. That's who he is. He's a master politician, and I don't wish the word master to be an affirmative term. He's just very, very good at it. Clearly he can't get the votes within his conference to do this, and he has to protect them if he wants to stay as the leader. So that's what he's doing.
Let's go to Rosemary, although I do think we have Malcolm on. Malcolm, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Glad to be here, finally.
I'm sorry you had issues, but I'm very glad that you are with us, and we're with us for at Linda's request, and so thank you very much. We're talking about the stimulus. We're talking about Mitch McConnell. We'll catch up with you in a second. Rosemary, what do you think?
I think McConnell's a jerk. I'm not sure that anything happened here that we have not seen before. He decided early on that he did not care about helping people in Kentucky, even much less in the rest of the country, who really need this money. As I have said before, I don't think he's completely wrong that the money will go to many people who don't really need it, and that's not the best use of it. But he has effectively made it so that nobody will get any money, and that's a pain for everybody. It's really unconscionable. But the people of Kentucky put him back in, and so this is what they want, presumably. Unbelievable to me. I don't get how this benefits him. I know that he's pushing for two things. He says, yeah, you can have $2,000 if you set up an organization that the president wants to investigate elections, which is ridiculous and a waste of money. And if you reel in the tech companies, which I also don't think is a bad idea, but it certainly has nothing to do with COVID relief. Why can't he just pay attention to what's needed right now, which is helping people who don't have jobs and are not going to get jobs while this pandemic is raging?
Well, surely you know why not. You know why not, because, as I said before, quoting myself, always a bad idea, that he has people in his conference who are just not going to let it happen. And unless now he could do it, Rosemary, with all the Democrats and the Republicans who want to do it? Yeah, he could. But he won't ever let that happen. He will never bring anything to a vote.
But again, Alan, if people won't pass, Republicans won't pass it, okay, fine. What does he have to lose by putting it up to a vote?
He has to lose the sense that he's not in control of his own conference. And his
well, he
job.
Isn't. He isn't. And, we know Josh Hawley is gonna bring the Electoral College issue to a vote, and certainly McConnell did not want that, so he's not in control right now.
He's in control. Yeah, I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we'll get to Josh Hawley in a minute, but because there's a story there, of course. We just have a few minutes before we get about 2 minutes before we go to a break. So, Linda, let me get you in on this.
Well, I mean, this all goes to the bigger problem. I mean, surpassing whether Mitch has control or not of the Senate, I believe he's doing the will of the Senate. We are talking about something that has become very clear pretty much to everybody, if it wasn't before, and that is that the Senate is not going to aid the unemployed, even if it's not their fault. Because that, and I'm quoting Paul Krugman now, because that is an admission that lucky Americans should help their less fortunate fellow citizens, and that's an admission the right does not want to make. It's just that clear. They do not want to help other people. And the rage is just outrageous. John Cornyn of Texas, okay, I want everybody to go back to Reagan, and I want everybody to remember the code words, welfare mother, welfare cheat. Now, those were code words for black people, all right? Now, here is John Cornyn yesterday saying Democrats want to spend the money on people who, frankly, haven't suffered any financial losses during the pandemic, and that's just wasteful, and they may not deserve it. Now, what are we saying here? Who are we saying doesn't deserve help? What's going on? This is this is what they call freedom is the absence of responsibility. It's just
absolutely
that simple.
Right. You're right.
And the rage, Lindsey Graham declares these benefits will be extended, quote, over our dead bodies. Really?
It's the same as healthcare, Linda. They don't want to. They don't. What is the big horribleness of allowing people the right to have healthcare when they need it? That's been raging for 10 years.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to go in with Malcolm, and then we have some letters on this as well. So we'll continue and bring this up when we on the other side of the break. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. The gang is all here: Rosemary, Malcolm, Linda, and of course Alan Chartok. We will be right back after this. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Malcolm Nance, and Linda Ellerbe. When we left the proceedings before the break, we were ready to go over to Malcolm with his thoughts on this. Good morning, Malcolm. The floor is yours.
Good morning. It's quite simple. Mitch McConnell is a heartless representative of the Republican Party because this is not just Mitch McConnell. The reason that he said that he wouldn't bring this to the floor or added the poison pills to it is because they indicated that the majority of the Republican conference in the Senate do not want to give poor people money. It's as simple as that. $600 was too much for them. You know, in Europe, my friends who I talk to in Denmark and Germany, they're paid their salaries by the government. In some instances, as much as 3,000 euros, or, you know, that's $4,500 per month to sustain their economies, to keep the people out from falling into destitution. The Republicans don't believe in helping poor people. And what's fascinating about this is Mitch McConnell is talking about this as if this is some hardship on the rich and businesses. Kentucky has 10 of the poorest counties in the United States out of the top 25. He represents the people that desperately need this. But what's horrible about it is, and I'm afraid it's true, it goes to that, you know, that old saying by Lyndon B. Johnson that, you know, if you can make the poorest white man feel superior to the richest, most well-educated black man, they'll empty their pockets for you. And right now they're doing it for the Republicans. They're sending Trump and McConnell and these guys money for not helping them. That's bizarre.
when you look at this, Malcolm, we have a letter for you, which brings us off topic mm-hmm. just a slight bit, but it's one that comes to you often here through the radio station, which is, what are the chances right-wing groups answer Trump's call for protests, start riots, and give Trump an excuse to declare martial law?
I mean, the first part of it is possible. It's very possible. I mean, I monitor these people every day, all day. I get up at 3 in the morning to start watching what they wrote the previous night. And many of them are looking for a fight. They're spoiling for a fight. But what's funny is that they're so desperate to overturn the election. And I see out of maybe 100 posters on Parler, somebody who's trying to inject reason in there, like, hey, this is dictatorship. They don't care. They have become the anti-democratic party. They do not believe in American democracy. They love all the trappings of it, but they want to overturn this election to keep Donald Trump in power. And the only question, they've got January 6th stuck in their mind that Mike Pence is going to get on the podium and refuse to recognize the electors and refuse to accept anyone other than the electors the Republicans chose by hand and not the ones that were actually selected by their states. And they are desperate for this. And I think a lot will come on the 6th and expect a fight.
So, Malcolm, put yourself into Mike Pence's spot and tell us what you would do.
Well, it's a formality. This is not. He has no authority as president of the Senate to change the will of the voters. All it is a formality. They say it's going to open up with a 2-hour debate, right? And I tell you, the Democrats need to get on this and start calling this blatant, open, outright fascism and dictatorship, that they want to turn over this election. This isn't a last gasp for them to get their air of their grievances. They fully, his base, his crazy base, fully expects him to be in power on January 20th. And many of those people are talking about, this is the time, if we're going to fight, now's the time to fight. But they all think he's playing 4, 5, and 6-dimensional chess, right? I have people quoting Sun Tzu about, being prepared and letting the enemy, catching the enemy unawares and all that stuff, and that this is all a setup. They're delusional. And if any of you who are listening to this think that this is all some, liberal claptrap, you are literally fighting the Constitution of the United States, trying to overthrow results for the first time in 244 years. And by shouting, oh, it's fraud, it's fraud. I mean, I'm looking out my window right now, my neighbor across the way. The Republican Party gave all of the Republicans in Columbia County, if you wanted it, a sign that says stop election fraud. They believe this delusion. It could get it nasty. I don't know. I just don't know.
We got a couple of – go ahead. Anybody else want in on that?
I wanted to say this is why I asked for Malcolm on my last show today. Malcolm, you really must learn what you think. And you too, Rosemary. You both need to learn to express yourself and say what you really think.
I'm telling you. I call it
pulling an LRB. That's right. We got a letter from Jim who says, Mitch knows only how to play offense. Dems tend to only counterpunch and do it poorly. Trump, divide and conquer. And then Jim says simply, Happy New Year. We go to...
He ain't wrong.
Now, Michael says, my father used to say, Republicans can't sleep at night unless they know someone is going to bed hungry. Yeah, it is.
Gotta be honest. You guys remember the movie? Do you remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah.
And the wonderful town,
Bedford Falls.
What was the name of the town?
Bedford Falls.
Bedford Falls.
What happens to it? when, you know, when the main character supposedly dies. It becomes Potterville, owned by the evil, crooked Republican who stole the money from his savings and loan. And then it's all gin joints and floozies and gambling halls. And all of Bedford Falls changes because something, you know, one critical person, you know, and life changed. This is what they want. They want Potterville. They want, you know, hookers and strip clubs and anything that makes a cheap, fast buck, because that's the nature of business. It is not. I was a Republican very early on in my life, and then when they started going nuts, I was like, hey, I'm not like I like people, right? I want to help people. They don't. Their fundamental nature is that they don't like others getting something they didn't get. And but here you know, we are.
But, you know, they really are getting screwed, and I'll tell you how. The Democrats are in great shape right now because the Republican senators are going to have to vote because of these objections, which is exactly what Mitch McConnell knows. He doesn't want it to happen. But in the end, the Democrats are a lot better off putting each of these people up before the mast and saying, okay, what are you doing here? You know, you can't win. The Democrats or the Republicans will hate you.
Yeah, Alan, quick question. What happens if on the 6th,
yes,
fearing their positions in the Republican Party, fearing that their constituents, their base, is going to rip them apart and come to their house with guns, that they vote along with Donald Trump and try to overturn the election and get enough votes?
Well, they won't get they won't get enough votes, but they will. First of all, they got the House of Representatives, and they certainly won't get enough votes there, right, Malcolm?
Right. Okay.
That begins the whole thing. Secondly, you know, they're screwed either way, because if they vote along with the president in the hope of survival, you know, they're going to look like Murd. Can you say that?
Sure.
I don't think any of this is true. They are trying a huge play right now, and it's theatrical. Yes, of course, the House of Representatives being in Democratic hands means they can't win the ploy, but they're going to make a lot of theater out of this. And they do win people over with this. They don't. The people who support them do not think they're cruel and evil and out to create Potterville. They just see themselves as being regular Americans who are fighting the elite. So there's nothing to lose by doing this. That's why Josh Hawley, who is a potential presidential candidate in the future, is so scary to me. He's so calculated. He's a constitutional scholar. He knows this is all crap, what he's about to pull off, and yet he's doing it anyway because it's theater. And what you said at the beginning is true. The Democrats ought to be taking this really seriously and figuring out how to counter it with again, more theater.
Got a letter from
their message.
Got a letter from Tim who says it is alarming, and I was going to mention this, but I'll do it through the letter, which is it's alarming that Trump is leaving Florida. He cut his trip to Mar-a-Lago short and is skipping the New Year's Eve bash to get back to Washington. Pence has canceled his trip to Israel. How concerning should that be, do you think?
Concerning.
Yes, that's right.
I think they have a plot.
Yeah, no, you're right. So Trump says, watch that date, watch the date in Congress. Pence says, I'm not going to go away, which everybody thought he would do because he was going to have to keep the rule of law.
Get out of town.
Yeah. It's very concerning.
You know,
all right.
I think that
go ahead, Michael.
It's concerning in the sense that they are coming back to coordinate. And they're going to need this weekend to sit down, and I think that Trump is going to put it out there. You vote to overturn this election, and they're going to hold it to Mike Pence or else. And I really think that, you know, he's called all these people to Washington, and they can't bring arms, but they can certainly bring anger and power and vociferousness all throughout the Republican Party. And, you know, I mean, they're already calling for the head of Bill Barr, and everywhere I see, they think John Roberts and the Supreme Court are traitors. That's the word they're using. publicly and openly, and that he's a pedophile. You know, all these things. So Mike Pence caught in this wedge, do you think he's going to sit there and go, I'm going to live by the Constitution no matter what Donald Trump says? He's a sycophant. He will. I think he'll do it.
There's one other thing, Malcolm, that plays into this, which is that both Pence and Hawley are contenders for the 2024 Republican nomination, and Trump is playing both of them. You want to be the next guy? Do my bidding. And they're just dancing to his tune. It's quite interesting to watch.
I think in Trump's mind, there's not going to be a 2024 election, that he is president of the United States. And that he will stay in power. I'm really becoming convinced of that just in the last 24 hours, you know, because, you know, as we reach almost 400,000 dead and, you know, coronavirus out of control and distributing the vaccine apparently is now onto the state governments again. And the U.S. government is not doing anything other than giving people the vaccine. I mean, this is 20.
Well, now you are talking about a state's rights
in May.
Who has always believed that the states should run everything, and we've gotten a real good view of how that worked in the last year. And, of course, the Republicans don't want the states to run everything when it does not suit them. But I have to – Rosemary and Malcolm, I have to stop and step back here because I know you're both right in everything you say. And, yes, we should be very concerned. And, yes, this is scary. And, yes, this is a chance where the minority can, if they wish, if they might – take something over. But I also think that we have to remember this last November when Americans came out before and on the day of election in enormous numbers to say, we do not support this. We do not support this man. We do not support this America. We are better than that. And I don't think we can forget that when we're talking about this. Yes, you're right in your cautionary tales on every one of these scenarios. But I think we need to take a little hope. I know, Rosemary, you say that I'm more optimistic.
I know. I'm rolling my eyes at you. You know it.
I know you're rolling your
eyes at you.
But we must have some faith in the American people as we saw them come out. In the middle of a pandemic, we saw them make their wishes known, and we did learn that we are still, there are more of us than them. Now, what we have to do, you're right, is prevent a takeover by the minority.
Cool.
But we must keep in mind they are the minority.
Like, let's take a look at that statement. And I know that I come off as a curmudgeon going against Linda's eloquent optimism. However, what did the people vote for? They did not repudiate Trumpism. They did not repudiate stinginess and racism and all the stuff going on. They threw Trump out of office.
Well, they did, because Biden won. You're saying that they're right because they can count the way they want. The votes were counted. They repudiated Trump. Period.
But all
he got unelected. They repudiated.
No, not period. That's not period. That's
no, but I mean,
point.
I know
not
you're
going to
say he got 74 million. Nevertheless, the final count is Trump lost. We cannot take that off our minds or stop saying that we can't make that something smaller than it is. It's big. He lost. He has lost, and that's how the law looks at it. That's how the Constitution looks at it. And we can't, in our own hearts and in our words, say, well, you know, it wasn't really a victory. Yes, it was. It's over. The election's over. We won.
That's we're not saying it isn't a victory. We're saying that's the challenge for Trump. If he's going to turn, as he has his whole career, turning the apparent losses into a win. And that's what he's trying to do now and why he's so dangerous.
Nobody
has tried to do that in the election, but it didn't work.
Nobody has more respect for Rosemary than I do. But I'm voting for Linda. I think she's exactly right. Can you imagine if we all woke up the next morning after the election and Trump had won? Ooh.
All right. This is the best birthday present ever, by the way, having you all go at it. So let's pause. I'll let you vote, and we will.
It's only play because Rosemary and I are friends.
Absolutely. Well, we're all friends. That's good. That's good.
And Malcolm, we're all friends. I mean, Rosemary and I talk when we're not on the air, too.
But not about
we
politics.
We have been exchanging recipes in the last couple of days.
I'm not going to get to a break, but I'm going to try. Paddle at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Belly, Beer Belly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention?
I get such a kick out of playing that song this morning because yesterday Alan got an email. And normal, just, you know, this is what I think about a certain issue, and referring to Alan as Al. And Alan goes, yeah, I think you're right, and this is important. And then at the end, he said, no one calls me Al.
I said it.
You didn't call me Al.
This, of course, is going to be an invitation for all the Al letters. You know that. Nevertheless, my mother said, never let anybody call you Al. And I have stuck to that.
I agree. I feel
one
very...
Why did she name you that if she didn't want to run
she didn't name
that
me. She named me Alan.
Yeah.
Don't you see the distinction?
But the diminutive for that is Al. If she could have called you Bob, and nobody would have called you Al.
Not in her mind.
Yeah, my mother was okay. Joseph, Joe was okay. Joey was not. That was not allowed. So, all right, let's get back to it. We welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. Marvin writes, Addison Mitchell McConnell Jr. and the likes of him need to be reminded that it is not their money. It is our hard-earned taxes they are treating like it's a handout from their pockets. The questions needed to be asked of them are, whose money is it? Is it Addison Mitchell McConnell's Jr.'s money or the people's money? I love the use of the full name. Okay, we go to Malcolm. John says, I hear Malcolm and remember everything he said over the past 4 years. All of his warnings have come true, but nobody's listened and nothing stopped the worst from happening. I feel like Malcolm Nance is the modern Cassandra who always prophesies the truth to people who never listened. Do you feel like the modern Cassandra, Malcolm?
A couple of years ago, someone actually dubbed me the Black Cassandra. And, you know, my first thought was, what did I ever do to Apollo? I never dated Apollo. So, which is how Cassandra got her gift of prophecy, which no one would ever believe. Oh, and yes, I really do feel that way. I mean, I literally was criticized by very high-level people in the media about the whole Trump-Russia scandal and how none of it was real and this was all fantasy. I mean, Andrew Sullivan called me a fantasist and conspiracy theorist on Hardball one day. Yeah, it all turned out to be true. And this is the worst one. I don't want this to be true. As you guys know, I feel terrible that we're even discussing this subject of the potentiality of an overthrow of the people's will, of an election. And, you know, I mean, there was this ridiculous story in the Washington Post, I think it was, about 3 weeks ago, where a woman went through and took everyone to task for using coup incorrectly. And, you know, and it's like, how brain dead can you be when you're talking about, for the first time in 244 years, someone wants to overthrow a duly elected government of the United States through dictatorial power? You know, you shouldn't be mincing words about, is it an auto coup or an auto gape or a self coup? This is ridiculous. We're in trouble. And I'm sorry, but, you know, I hope this doesn't come true. I think maybe Mike Pence just does the stand up thing. And, you know, the next day, though, he will be dead to Donald Trump. He will be, you know, he will be a has-been in the Republican Party for standing up to the and upholding the Constitution of the United States. Terrible.
Colleen writes to us and says, loath as I am to disagree with Malcolm, he is a personal hero after all. I am worried that Trump and Pence are returning to D.C. early because they are plotting an attack on some target in the Middle East. Thoughts from Malcolm?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Iran. We sent some B-52s over there and moved a carrier battle group, and because they're saying that Iran may retaliate against us for something, you know, insult du jour. That's not going to happen. The Iranians are very, very politically savvy. They know Trump will be gone in 20 days, you know, short of something else. They can take any punch we can throw at them short of a nuke. I mean, so they're not going to do anything, and nobody's doing anything.
How about us, Michael? What about us? I mean, in other words, you're right about them. They're smart. But, you know, when I heard that those planes were on the way over there, I got quite upset because this could be one more, you know, part of what this guy is trying to do to upset the election.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think that the military will execute anything other than, you know, defensive actions that are very clearly showing a threat to the United States. I mean, if the Iranians shoot rockets at the American embassy, we'll shoot them down, that sort of thing. But, you know, for the president, you know, with a couple of days and go, okay, I want to decimate the Iranian Air Force, which is major air battles, loss of U.S. service members down behind enemy lines, essentially the stage for a major war. I think everyone and their dog will slow walk that. And there's a way to slow walk that, right? Like, we don't have enough missiles. We don't have enough manpower. We don't have enough systems. They have to move into place. And you just make them move very, very slowly.
You know, you're much smarter about this stuff than I am, Malcolm. But I don't know. I mean, here's a guy who clearly cannot accept the fact that he's not going to be president of the United States. And he's tried everything in his power in order to turn it around. Would it be outrageous to think in terms of the way this guy thinks that he would foment a war in order to stay in power?
Nothing's outrageous at this point. Nothing. And I wouldn't be, I mean, especially if you did it on like the 5th, right? You throw a major punch at the Iranians on the 5th with whatever we have standing in place in the Arabian Gulf, the Persian Gulf, whatever you want to call it. And that would jack up and motivate his followers into, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys watch the crazy alternate universe that is Trump world, but they think this guy is lean and fit and super ready to fight and the greatest. They constantly refer to him as, you know, we refer to him as POTUS, P-O-T-U-S. They unironically refer to him as G-E-O-T-U-S, God Emperor of the United States. I'm not joking. It is very common amongst the right-wing world. Not joking. Appointed by God to lead the United States. It's scary.
There is the Arizona Republican Party sent out this painting, and this came from the Republican Party of Arizona. It is this idealized painting of a very fit Donald Trump and very blonde and kind of ruggedly good-looking with an eagle perched on his shoulder. He is wearing George Washington's battle clothes. He is holding an American flag. He has the White House behind him, and in his right hand, he has a pistol, which, talk about unintentionally wonderfully funny things. He is supposedly pulling the pistol out of his belt and waistband, something the man has not seen in years, his belt and waistband, as though he's pulling it out. But the pistol is pointed, his pistol is actually inside the belt, pointed at something far more delicate. And my thought was, oh, pull that trigger. If there's anything large enough to aim at down there. But this is the kind of thing that Malcolm is talking about, this idealized savior version of Donald Trump. This is being put out by an official, by a state of the official Republican Party of Arizona. It's crazy time. And Al Malcolm's right about this. This is, that alternative universe is very alternative.
We're going to put a pause on the fun here for a second because we have to go to a top of the hour break.
Joseph's face was black as night. The pale yellow moon shone in his eyes. His path was marked by the stars in the southern hemisphere, and he walked his days under Africa's skies. This is the story of how we begin to remember. This is the powerful pulsing of love in the vein. After the dream of falling and calling your name out, these are the roots of rhythm, and the roots of rhythm remain.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this New Year's Eve, last day of calendar year 2020. We have Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, Malcolm Nance, and Linda Ellerby with us, and we welcome your letters. Yes.
Joe, I just wanted to remind everybody that, because you just reminded me, that this is the last day of December. If you get yourself to the post office and get a contribution to WAMC, postmarked, that would be great, or to any other charity, because it'll count towards your taxes. But if you just do it because it's the right thing to do at any point, we love you for it and we appreciate it.
Absolutely. And all those people are going, I don't know what I'm going to do with the $600. Well, you know.
Well, some will. I guarantee
and,
you some will.
And, you know, we've gotten wonderful letters. Alan, we were talking about this yesterday, you and I, about people who called up and said, you know, we're going to give half to our food pantry and half to WAMC. And I can think of nothing nicer. That is a beautiful way of doing it.
Yeah,
so if you want to get on.
We got to keep it going. That's the main thing.
You want to get on year end, for God's sakes, you know. Help the post office out more. They need more letters in the system right now. Panel at WAMC.org. WAMC.org if you want to find out. It's really easy to donate online. It's just WAMC.org. And there's phone numbers there and addresses and all kinds of stuff. So it's very easy. So with that said, we will move on and we'll remind you about that a little bit later on. So good morning, everybody. Let me get back to some letters here, and then we will move on to other topics. We go to, Luca, who says, my question is, couldn't the political divide be rooted more deeply than ideas? Couldn't the divide be rooted in an existential sense of self as separate from others and all existence versus an existential sense of self as mutually interconnected? This existential sense will drive our thoughts and behaviors away from.
What? I feel like I'm back in college philosophy class.
Yeah, really.
As soon as I hear the word existential, I hide under the bed.
I'm not
I'm
done yet,
on that
but
one. Yeah.
This existential self will drive our thoughts and behaviors away from or towards caring for others. The rest is window dressing, wishing all a better new year. Okay. So, I mean, I think the ultimate...
Not selfish. End of description.
The ultimate question, couldn't the political divide be rooted more deeply than ideas?
But that is an idea. And you, when you, I was 19, I 18, I went home from college my freshman year and announced I was an existentialist. After you take away the word existential and the sense of self and the sense of other, what you're talking about is selfish or not selfish. That's it. You're either, it's all about you or it's all about you and other people. You're either part of the world or it's all about you.
This is when I remind people we love your letters. Evan says, just a reminder that Biden received more votes than any other president in history. This is to the point that you made, Linda, earlier. Let's see. We go to.
We had more people voting than ever. We have more people. We haven't done any kind of population control. It doesn't mean anything.
Trump received more votes than any sitting president in history.
Love that.
But, yeah.
All right. Let's go to this one.
Biden received more votes than Trump.
Right. That's the number that counts.
Tim says, lawnmower. Mitch is only interested in his own agenda. I'm also concerned that if the Democrats win Georgia, thus providing complete control of our government, they will reform in the same manner as the Republicans are today. Nobody in government is working for the betterment of the people.
Who's that from?
That's from Tim.
Okay.
Do you, anyone want in on that? Malcolm, do you want in on that?
Yeah. I do want in on that. Let me get a piece of that.
Good.
First off, there are two parties in the United States that are running or that have been running government. If you can't see the difference between Donald Trump literally dismantling American democracy before your eyes, attempting to throw out hundreds of millions of votes, then you really just can't see anything. The Democratic Party didn't throw children in cages. The Democratic Party didn't ban entire nations from coming to have the American dream. The Democratic Party didn't embrace white supremacists and neo-Nazis, okay? The Democratic Party isn't advocating that police beat black youth. The Democratic Party isn't separating women and gays and lesbians and transgenders and kicking them out of the military. Democratic Party isn't saying you have to stay at home with no money and just suck up a global pandemic that this today has killed another 9/11 worth of people in the United States. There's two different parties. We live in reality. They live in, you know, cloud cuckoo land, whatever you want to call it. But by God, if you can't figure out the difference between the two, then you're going to figure it out soon enough when, you know, when it hits your bank account or when you get COVID-19 and you find out that the state doesn't have enough vaccines for you and the rest of your family. This is life and death now, and we are 20 days from correcting this mistake. And I can tell you right now, I'm close to the campaign and the Biden team, these people are going to throw an all-of-government approach at COVID-19. They're talking everything, right down to mobilizing the armed forces to take over, you know, assist hospitals, all the things that weren't done last year. But if you can't tell the difference between that and what's going on today, no one can help you.
There is a point
standing
to be
ovation
made,
for
however.
Malcolm here.
There standing is a point to be made, however, that both parties care far more about corporations than they do about people. And while I subscribe to everything Malcolm just orated about, we do need a party that looks at people, at citizens, rather than at the interests of our corporations. And we see that in the rulings of the Supreme Court, in Mitch McConnell's priorities. We see that in governors who proclaim that individual liberty is hurt when it's actually businesses that are being shut down. There is a corporate bias by both parties that is getting increasingly hard to swallow.
Are they the same?
No, they're not the same. Well, I do not think that corporations have First Amendment rights, for example. I think
No. That wasn't the question, Rosemary. I'm sorry. You're not saying, though, that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are equally on board as far as the corporations are concerned.
I think everything Malcolm said is true. In the policies that come out of both parties, there's a huge difference. And, of course, he's right about that. But fundamentally, both parties cater to and are subservient to corporations. And our the way we fund elections, the way we fund governance makes that impossible not to do. Joe Biden came into it for a lot of criticism for his support of credit card companies, for example. That's corporate support of the same sort that we see among Republicans. Big money comes in to Democrats from businessmen who have rapacious and anti-humane practices. And we accept that as a given, that we have to do it this way. And that is failing. But my problem is that ending it is, how do you end it? We're going to have another party? Well, that just doesn't happen, and it hasn't happened in 200 years.
Won't happen. Malcolm, how do you answer Rosemary's point?
Well, you know what? The house is on fire. Okay? It's not a question of of who, you know, of who likes the fire engine, whether it's the yellow truck or the red truck. The house is on fire. There's only one group that are fighting the fire, and the other group is plotting to buy up the land of your burned down house and give you nothing for your insurance. So I don't want to hear it. It's not time to debate that. Those those far left libertarian pie in the sky ideals of, oh, can we just have a people's party by dismantling the one party that's rescuing the nation? Okay, let's give it a break. Let's move on.
It's how we got into this situation, that for 200 years we've been saying it's not the time now to bring this up. And the entire 50s era is when we decided that business was American interest. I think we're one and the same.
My friend Stephen Schmidt wants to dismantle the Republicans. Steve Schmidt wants to dismantle the Republicans and turn them back into the Bull Moose Party. Maybe you can work with them.
I mean, Roosevelt came close. Theodore Roosevelt came close. It's not a bad and awful idea. Or we could just make some maybe reforms and changes and get some smart Democrats in who can use the system, who can create or mold slowly or begin to mold a system that is not so reliant on corporations. That's why the Republicans have ended up in this mess. Why Trump was such a hero to them. Oh, let's put a businessman in. Who ever thought businessmen would make great governors? That's ridiculous.
Whoever thought the government should be run like a business.
Right.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
That's a stupid idea. Businesses don't build roads. They don't.
Here's that word again.
Businesses are not governments. This whole notion of let's get a businessman in there to run the government so we can fix things, that helps nobody but other businessmen.
And if you want to talk about idealism, let's get Kentucky. You said it yourself. Kentucky voted McConnell back in. That's how far we are from getting an improvement. People are voting for their own torturers to go back into office, supporting them against, you know, Amy McGrath was an amazing person who should have beat him. And by every measure of self-interest, of planning for the future, of humanitarianism, she would have been elected. Instead, McConnell is back in. So, I have had trouble with this from the beginning. It's not saying, hey, you're getting the government you deserve.
We have a lot of letters. I want to get to as many as we can here.
Uh-oh. Is anybody here? I think what happened is Joe dropped out because Joe's from home because it was birthday today. The first time in a long time. So I think Joe may have dropped out.
Am I here, there now?
Here
I'm back.
You're
okay.
Here.
You're there now.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I blew out my signal. Marion writes to us and says, if Rosemary wants a Democratic Party that doesn't favor corporations, she should stop bashing Bernie.
Oh, baloney. If Bernie is my only hope, I take back everything I say.
Susan says, Malcolm is the best. Keep it up. John says,
No, I just pull LRBs left and right.
I'm going to start pulling Malcolms. I think you've got this backwards.
John says Malcolm may be right about the two political parties, yet he would be far more credible if he acknowledged the similarities also. Rosemary is right on, says John, with on being in shouty caps. We go to...
Okay, yeah, how about some Rosemary moments here, please?
I'm having a Rosemary moment. You want me to go full Rosemary?
No.
Is your dog there?
I can call Luna, and she's looking at me from the bed, extremely bored, unless we go back to talking about Joe's birthday and possibly Joe's dog.
How about the fact that we have come to the point where Joe Biden is the incoming president of the United States and Bernie Sanders isn't? This is a middle-range country. It's not, look, you think people are stupid? They're not. They know what they wanted, and a number of people, as in Capture the White Flag, came over the line and voted from the Republican line and voted for an independent line and voted for Joe Biden. That is so instructional, and I think some of the letter writers who write us and say, you're not left-wing enough, you know, you have to be a little bit more progressive, we should have elected Bernie. We didn't elect Bernie. He had his chance.
Two of them.
Good. Yes, that's right. Two of them.
And on one of them, I was for him.
Oliver says Rosemary might say that the current talk to keep Trump as president is theater, but people also consider Trump's 2016 run as presidential theater. We now are neck deep in farce. Learn from history. It pays to heed the improbable.
Well, I'm not about Rosemary. I'm a big Rosemary fan, but about the idea that you have to listen, as his niece and his sister said, to what he says because he means it. It's not farce. This guy would like to be to take over the United States government, and Malcolm has been right about everything he said about that.
My fear, says Michael, is if the Democrats had control of both houses of Congress in the first 2 years of President Obama's administration, but bickered internally in Congress, so the Republicans took the midterm elections, is that likely to occur again during President-elect Biden's administration, even if Georgia goes blue in the upcoming U.S. Senate runoffs?
Yes. The party
the out dangers of what the, might the, happen to this country if Georgia goes blue are just simply much smaller than the dangers of what's going to happen to this country if Georgia goes red.
No, you're right. You're right. But you're right. But that's not the issue here. The issue to me is whether or not the Democrats misbehave and start to fight with each other. But also remember, everybody, that the party out of presidential power often wins in that next election. So even though we know what might happen because the Democrats fight, it might just happen.
You know, I think we're at a point, and as it is December 31st, this is appropriate. Let's pretend that the inauguration goes as planned, and Joe Biden is inaugurated, and he is the president of the United States, and it is January 21st. Can we not take a deep breath at that point and start to address not the politics of what's happening, but what is happening? Not only do we have this pandemic to deal with, we also have the fact that we discovered in this last year how much of a racist nation we still are. I should say white people discovered this. And we need to think about what we're going to do going forward. These are serious problems, and they need serious people. At some point, let's lift up how politically it's going to work, and will the Democrats block it, and will it be contentious, and talk about what needs to be done. I think we are looking in this last year, there are some good things to come out of this last year, and I think there's one of the good things to come out of it is that we are moving into Custer's last stand, and I am talking about white male supremacy. And they recognize it, and that's why they're fighting so hard. But every day we move closer to it, quite simply because there are more of us, and we will win. But how do we educate ourselves, and how do we get to a better place? These are the things facing our nation. This and the pandemic, these are big problems. Let's talk about those.
And are we the Indians? Are we the Indians?
We're going into a new year at least with having elected some decent people.
Well, yeah, but and I know you, Wendy, you and I have talked about this, but it's, and you're absolutely right. And we'll take what we can get going into the new year. But this notion that the new year is going to erase everything and 2021 is going to be better than anything else, it's still.
We always say, oh, boy, 2020 was the worst year ever. And I sit back and say, on what evidence?
Yeah,
we haven't talked 21 yet. It could be worse.
Well, and you're right. I mean, we're going to take
that's
it.
That's me pulling a Malcolm and a Rosemary. It could be worse. It might be worse.
An M&R.
Yeah, I mean, if we start off with a coup, it's not going to be a good year. And then, my God,
if the inauguration takes place. No,
yeah,
no,
absolutely.
Everything depends on that. Yeah.
Let's see. This is to Rosemary. Let me just pre-read it to make sure there aren't. Okay, yeah. The good people of Kentucky
no bad
re-elect.
Words? Is that what
yes,
you're
yes, I did. I I did. I caught myself on one earlier. Rosemary, the good people of Kentucky reelected Moscow Mitch, and all the red states voted for Trump, not because they thought they would make their lives better. They won't. Rather, they voted for Mitch and Donnie because they make life hard for those they hate. That's how far we've devolved as a republic. All very sad.
Yes.
Eric says happy birthday, which I thank you, Eric, and says nice things, and then I say nice things back to you. Happy New Year to the panel. I always shake my head when I hear, and now the letter devolves, I always shake my head when I hear the panel describe the Republicans as evil and the Democrats as saviors of the Republic. There is a political corporate beholden class in this country, and they hold the levers of power. Both Democrats and Republicans must take responsibility for America's social problem, the wealth gap, an incredibly powerful military complex, huge prison populations, and the ceding of legislative power to the executive branch. To blame one party or just racism is to oversimplify that problem. We have to take
analysts portrayed the Democrats as saviors. I think that is misappropriating language there.
We do have to
lying.
We did.
Oh, we said they were better than Trump. That doesn't mean they're saviors.
No, we said they're going to come in.
Doesn't mean that we approve everything they do.
People,
I just said they're better than Trump.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our last call together for this New Year's Eve. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org, and we'll be right back after this.
Slow day, and the sun was beating on the soldiers by the side of the road. There was a bright light, a shattering of shop windows. The bomb in the baby carriage was wired to the radio. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo, the way we look to us all. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry. It was a dry wind, and it swept across the desert and curled into the circle of earth. And the dead sand falling on the children, the mothers and the fathers and the automatic earth. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo, the way we look to us all. Oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry.
Good morning. Welcome back. Last call here on the roundtable panel for this last day of 2020. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Alan and I will take the opportunity once again to remind you that if you now's a good time to make a year-end gift to WAMC because it's the end of the year, and that's how that works, right, Alan?
It's exactly right. We had a call from our wonderful Amber Sickles who said, if you could only just mention it one more time, it would be great to let everybody know if they go to WAMC.org. This is the last day in which you can deduct from the taxes, but it's also a great day to do it because we're shepherding in hopefully a better new year. WAMC.org or 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206.
That's right. If you put a check in an envelope and you send it out, and the
still
the postmark
works.
Is today, yep. It's that's good. Or you can go online and do it, wamc.org. So let's see. I have you guys are so great. We've only gotten to one topic, but that's okay. I want to get to a couple of the letters. They're good, and then we'll move on and see if we can hit some other stuff before the end of the show here. We go to Suzanne, who says, if Donald Trump is a businessman, then I'm the queen of Romania. He went bankrupt on casinos, for God's sakes. That's impossible.
What makes you think businessmen don't do that? They go broke all the time.
Ellen writes, dear wonderful panel, I'm glad to know that Linda will be back from time to time, but I just wanted to say how much I will miss looking forward to Linda's regular Thursday appearances, which I have been using successfully all year to hook my non-Northeast friends on the roundtable. At the end of this ghastly year, I also wanted to extend my thanks to WAMC for keeping us all sane and connected and sometimes scared to death. Thank you, Malcolm. In a way that I, she said that, by the way, I didn't add that. In a way I've come to depend on. WAMC is the only nonprofit to which I make a monthly donation, which I hope everyone who listens will do. And Ellen, thank you very much. It's wonderful to have you listen, and we appreciate it. And we certainly, Linda, we are very sad to see you go every Thursday, but we're delighted you'll come back from time to time. So, and you
of
know,
of course I will.
You
already asked me to come back after the inauguration that week, and I already said yes. So
yes,
I'll be away for a couple of. I'll be back. I'll be back, and I want to echo what Ellen said, because you all have helped me stay sane and connected during this time and through this election, and we've all needed that, and that's what really radio is about, is connection, and particularly a public radio station, a community radio. This is what it's there for. This is exactly what it's there for. Thanks for doing your job so well.
Ashley says, well, thank you, Linda. Ashley says, preach it, Linda. Smash the patriarchy once and for all. That was from your earlier comments. We go to Greg, who says,
you know, I want to end today with one of my favorite quotes, which has directly to that young woman. It's a T-shirt I used to wear, and it says, I speak fluent patriarchy, but it's not my mother tongue.
Greg writes and says,
I do, and it's not.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. Where was my Malcolm? There we go. Greg says, I'm with Malcolm. When the house is on fire, you call the fire department, not a builder. Save that for after the fire is out. Yes.
It's almost
indeed.
Too flattering to call that guy a builder. But I wanted to ask a question, Linda. No. Maybe I've missed this one. Do telephones work from Mexico to, the United States?
They do, yes, they do.
Okay.
Different time zones, though.
It's a cell phone, and it's a time zone difference, which is a bigger problem for me, because you know that walk I was talking about that I take?
Yeah.
Guess when it is? See, the sun doesn't come up there till 8:30 because it has to top over the Sierra Mountain, the Sierra Madres. So my walk is a before and through dawn walk, and I can't get the sun to change for your show, Alan.
Well, we can.
I'll tell them you asked, though. I'll tell it you asked.
We move heaven and earth for most things. I don't know. Give it a shot. Well, we'll work
I'll
out
still
those
be,
details.
Believe me, I will still be on from there, too. Yes,
okay.
I will. I just won't be on a scheduled day every week.
Excellent. Well, not excellent, but I'm glad at least you're with us in the future. Let's move on to some other stuff here. We'll see what we can cram in the next 10 minutes or so. We mentioned Senator Hawley, so I'll skip over that one. But the president's making a big deal about the governor of Georgia resigning. This is remarkable for a couple of reasons. One is he is a fellow Republican. Number two, Governor Kemp largely has Donald Trump to thank for being in office in the first place. And now, of course, because the governor has not gotten up and said that the race, the presidential race was not a complete fraud in his state, that the president believes he is, quote, an obstructionist who refuses to admit that we won big in Georgia. And then another word that just says big in all shouty caps. Also won the other swing states, Trump claimed, continuing his series of false claims he has made since President-elect Joe Biden was rejected the winner nationally. So this brings up two issues, of course, Alan. One is just how weird it is to have a Republican president go after a Republican governor, but also the fact that you have a major race coming up in less than a week in that governor's home state.
You said it very well. Let's remember that the guy's Meshuggah to begin with. You know, you never know where he's going to go, and you never know what he's going to say. And he sees that as part of his thing, his ability to collect people who like him and say, he tells it like it is, no matter how asinine what he says is.
Rosemary.
Well, I agree with Trump. I think Kemp should resign because Stacey Abrams should be in that post. He stole the election from her. And I find that Trump going after Kemp is not just strange, it's karma, which I've always loved when bad people get it. So he was loyal to Trump. He was dishonest in the conduct of that election. And his reward for that is that now Trump is saying, well, you didn't call the election bad enough, the one I want to call bad. And so I hate you and I'm going after you. I just think it's delicious. I don't care what happens to Kemp. I do care about what happens in the Senate races there, and I hope that this fight will propel people to take an interest, Georgians, that is, to take an interest in the election and to go and vote for the Democrats.
Linda?
I agree with Rosemary. I love this. I do love this. I really do. I love it when they start to chew each other up. And for all of those people in the Congress who might be saying, well, if this comes, if I'm forced to vote on the 6th, oh, God, how do I stand up and say that, gee, Trump really did lose the election, which I know to be true, but how do I stand up and say that if he comes after me? The moral here is he's going to come after you anyway. At some point, who do you belong to, him or you, or just big business? Who knows?
Malcolm?
But I'm with Rosemary. I'm enjoying this. Stacey Abrams, yes.
Yep.
Malcolm?
You know, I'm gonna be short of words, because for those of you who remember the movie Godzilla, it's the Japanese scientist Ishiro Suzuzawa, or Suzuzawa, who said, let them fight. That's what we're going to do. We're going to let them fight. And I hope Donald Trump tears down the Georgian Republican Party into shreds, to the point where Stacey Abrams might become the governor of Georgia. But that's my philosophy.
Malcolm, what's he up to?
Yeah.
What is the president up to by taking on the Republicans right now? Do you have a sense of that?
Yeah, he's in his normal mode of crazy. I mean, he cannot stand someone standing against him. We've said this before many times on this program. This is the mafia don who thinks he was one city hall and thinks he controls everybody. And he thinks he owned the Supreme Court. They let him down. He thought he bought all of these governors. And if you're a Republican, then you're a Trump Republican, and you will break the law at his direction. And this guy is not doing it. And it's driving Donald Trump absolutely bonkers. And so that's where he's going to stay. And now the new test is the January 6th congressional congressional authorization of the electors, and he's expecting them all to side with him or face the wrath of what he's proven it. It's the Trump Party, it's not the Republican Party. I'm amazed they still use the name. I don't know why they don't just change it to the Trump Party. He might in the first 6 months of this year. I wouldn't be surprised.
I know we've danced around this, but I don't know if we've talked about it directly. But does what happens on the 5th in Georgia do you think have any true, let's see, what's the word I want to use? Any major force of what happens on the 6th in Washington?
Yes.
No. We immediately came out and said the opposite. Not sure.
We got one yes, no, and one not sure. One abstention.
Malcolm, you want to do a tiebreaker?
There was a yes, no, and a not I sure.
I say yes, because in theory, now you all know Mitch McConnell will not swear those two in the next day. He'll want like the results certified, but it will show to the Republicans that, you know, if the Democrats take the Senate and Mitch McConnell becomes the minority leader, I mean, geez Louise, they may go crazy, but they're not going to overthrow the election at that point. It'll be one side rule. And I am an advocate of the revenge being swift, ruthless, and unrelenting because the government was torn down and people need to be held accountable. And I hope that we do control the House and the Senate, and that we first thing is bring up H.R. 1 again, right? The Voting Act, which makes Election Day a holiday and gives people paid time off and neutralizes all of these voter suppression laws.
Anybody else on that?
Well, with all due respect to Alan and Malcolm, you're wrong. This is Donald Trump's waging an effort, a last-ditch effort not to be a loser. It has nothing to do with Georgia. He has used Georgia up to now only as a way to batter his own case about himself. And so I think he will continue doing what he's going to do, fomenting trouble. And I think if he loses it, which, of course, it looks like he will, he'll be at the inauguration just so he can upstage Joe.
Well, respectfully, Rosemary, and of course, you know that I mean that respectfully. You think about all of the bills that can pass if the Democrats take the Senate, have one extra vote, meaning the vice presidential vote, that will never pass if the Republicans still control it.
Well, correct. I agree with that, but that wasn't the question we were debating, right? It was whether what happens in the election will have anything to do with the congressional, certification.
It was the question I was referring to.
What's your response?
I reframed
Joe's
the
question.
Yeah. That's all right. We're out of time.
Here
folks.
Comes the not sure person.
Yes.
I agree that if the Democrats win, I agree. I think I've gone from not sure to actually during this conversation thinking it does. But
excellent.
My concern is this.
We have 30 seconds.
If the Democrats lose in Georgia, if the Republicans retain those two Senate seats, it's going to affect what happens the next day. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to accomplish this because they can't get this through the House. They can't reverse the vote as long as the House has to vote on it. They can't change the electoral vote. That's a done deal. Malcolm is right. That's not going to happen. But I do think that it's going to make some difference if the Republicans retain the control of the Senate in what happens on the next day at the Electoral College. It's just going to be nastier.
Out of time, but I am very this was a great show. It was a wonderful birthday present. I want to thank you all very much for being with us. I wish you all a very happy, happy new year. Have a beautiful time. Be safe. And we'll cross paths in the new year. And I look forward to that. Again, help out as much as you can with the lockbox and year-end giving. WAMC.org. Alan, thank you so much. I so appreciate
it. Joe, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Well, thank you, Linda.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Love to you, all of you. Thank you very much. And we'll be back right after this.